Hello and welcome to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System. I'm Anna Harding.
I'm Ali Bailey. You're listening to episode 49. Hi.
I wanted to do like a little bingo call and my brain just went, so I'm having a bit of like brain, baby brain issues, whereby my brain doesn't work as fast as like I want it to. And
49, like, enter the spine.
Oh!
It's a running bingo.
I love it. That, yes. Yeah. That's what we needed to do. What, do you remember when we did the bingo bit for vertical ball bags? 88 vertical ball bags. Rather vertical than doing like a rude just, one.
Vertical ball bags isn't the actual thing though, is it? It's the rude version. It's your made up version. Yeah.
Because we were saying like, oh, two fat ladies, that's a bit misogynistic. Let's do one where it like takes the like piss out of the patriarchy.
What's the opposite? I'm just going to Google it. Of misogyny, there is an opposite because I watched the other night. Everybody, I was watching How to Be a Man with Danny Dyer.
Now, why is that even a thing?
Because it is. Now, I thought I was watching a cartoon to begin with, but it wasn't a cartoon. It was actual Danny Dyer, and his interview. He was talking about how to be a man in the days of Me Too. Oh yeah, you can imagine. And I like Danny Dyer. I think he's quite funny. And interesting. And oh my God.
Ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
In the days of Me Too.
Yeah.
What? Keep your hands to yourself.
Don't be a prick, basically.
Also, don't be a prick. Don't catcall people while they're running.
Yeah. I don't want to like spoil it for anybody, but no one's going to watch it.
No one's going to watch it.
So it's okay. So the first thing that happened was he went and he interviewed this dude. I'm just typing in opposite of misogynist. And this dude was like 25 and he lived in his parents' garage and he was an Andrew Tate guy. So he was like one of those guys.
No.
He's a TikTok guy. He lives in his parents' garage. Well, he lives in their house, but he runs his TikTok empire from their garage.
Cool. Right.
And he's wearing like a blue Mountain Warehouse puffer. Other puffers are available. And he sat down and Danny Dyer's like, so what's your misandry? Is the hatred misandry. Of contempt for prejudice against men or boys, right? Misandry, it's new.
Right.
It's new, it's hot, it's TikTok, right? So that basically, this guy said, yeah, the thing about women is they're all disgusting and dirty. They hate men. Misandry is everywhere. And, you know, you don't, the thing is, you don't want a woman that's had more than five or six penises in her, do you? You don't want her to be dirty down there. And Danny Dyer's like, pardon. He's like, and the thing is, if they've had more than four or five, they can't climax anyway. He actually said that. He actually thinks if you've had more than four or five, you can't climax.
Wow.
Danny Dyer's face was a picture. But to be honest with you, he wasn't really, there's not a lot of allyship there because he didn't know what to say. Now, this kid was talking about how, like, we've lost masculinity. Men were more beardy and stronger and fitter. And as he was talking, I was looking at him and I thought, you've had your eyebrow waxed. You've had your hairline tattooed, but I'm not sure. But I've had a lot of needles poked into my face recently. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Oh, my God.
And I just thought, it was just... I would encourage people who've got young lads in their life to watch it because it was a bit of an eye-opener about young lads and they're up against it really with like society's views of the behaviour of men. And of course it's not all men by a long stretch. It's actually quite terrifying because a lot of them are listening to Andrew Tate and think some of his ideas are quite good.
I know.
But my other favourite bit was where Danny Dyer went to meet some guys in a gay choir in Brighton. Oh, wax and lyric. Oh, I love the gays. I love hanging out with the gays. I love them. Yeah, I just love them. It's so brilliant. Oh, yeah, it's really great. He was actually saying that.
Right.
And he's in the pub with them. He's like, I love how you guys can just sing. Your heart's content. You just sing and you're just moaning at every... and you can sing because you're gay. And it's like, you can sing, Danny. Anyone can sing.
It's not a prerequisite that you must be gay to sing.
No, but there was kind of an underlying thing that... If you do sing, people will think you're gay. Danny Dyer doesn't want people to think you're gay. There was kind of that. I felt like that.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's completely missed the point then of his show, hasn't he?
He missed the point many times. He missed the mark many times.
Brilliant.
But it was an interesting
God,
show.
God, you do watch some shit, Ali.
Well, no, I thought actually this is going to be... I'm interested to see how young people nowadays are seeing this roll out.
Yeah.
It was just the wrong show to watch, really. And I sort of finished... It was only two episodes. Funny that, isn't it? And
oh my God, there was two. It's like a one-off.
It's a docu-series. It's on Channel 4. I look at Oscar, Julius Stein, and I'm like, it must be really difficult for him because, you know, what do you say? What do you do? Where is the line? And like, I don't even know where the bloody line is. I'm a woman, so I identify as a woman. So it's like, it's just really difficult. This misandry thing I thought was quite interesting because it's
prejudice
and hatred against men. And I'm like, I need to watch myself because sometimes I can get quite ranty, but I don't want to be a misandrist. Misandrian.
No. Misandrist. Well, there you go. I mean, I was going to ask if you had a win, but it sounds like you've been winning at life watching all these shit shows.
What a start, eh? What a start to the show.
Have you had a win this week? I feel like I've not seen you for ages, but we did do this last week, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. We did the tango. We did the tango, the pod tango last week. I have, actually. Yeah. It's a win. It's a win, but it's also got a little sadness running under it, like a little sad river. At some point, everyone, Anna Harding is going to have a baby. Okay?
Yeah.
It's going to pop out. Now, we have discussed a live birthing, but she's not keen. So I have had the job of having to find someone to take up her space.
Replace just for
the
me.
Time. No, take up her space for the time she's not there. And now, I can exclusively confirm our guest presenters for when that time happens are.
What? I don't even know this.
Boom. Damien Hall. He'll be doing one a week, one a month. He won't do one a week, one a month. Once a month we'll have a Damien Hall.
Boom. Wow.
Once a month we'll have a Paul Albert. Boom. Holly Rush Stroke Stables was a marathon talk, now it's not.
She's a bit too good for this podcast. I'm not going
to. Well, I thought it would be interesting to have two people fighting, properly fighting for one episode a month. And our fourth person is TBC. I can't mention her name because she still hasn't agreed, but she will agree by the end of next week. So what we're going to do is, it's great. We've got four very different people. We're going to have one a month. So we're going to turn them over so it doesn't get boring for them, for you. But it will get boring for you because I'll be on it every time. And I think it will be just a little bit different and keep it rolling and fresh. And then when you come back, you'll be the same as we were before. So if anyone's got any... If anyone's got any ideas for features they'd like to see, because I don't really want to be doing a wind groom get in the bin. I don't want to do what we do. I want to do it differently. So when you come back, it's the same as it was. So if people have got some ideas for things they want to hear from Damien Hall, from Holly...
Yeah,
she's a good coach, Holly, and she does. Obviously, she's got Pete as well. She's up there properly with the fast people. So good to get some information off Holly about how to be in a vertical, a good road running person. Yeah. Paul Albin on the race director life. Plus, he's a very, very interesting man. He's seen things because he's right at the fire front of it all.
He's also father of twins, no less.
But funny how we don't describe him as father of twins, isn't it? If it was a woman, we might.
I don't know. I think it's incredible, like having twins. No thanks.
Me too, man.
If two came out, if it was like surprise, there's two in there, I think I'd probably give one back.
Push it back in. No,
thank
no.
You. No.
Just to
I'm
check,
joking.
Right?
Joking.
There isn't two in there, is there? There definitely.
I mean, I've only had two scans, and on the first one, they said there was one. And then the second one, they didn't like confirm or deny that there were one or two. And also, like, she was hiding quite a lot on the second one. And I didn't realize that there's places to hide at that stage. When they're quite small, they can hide. So I'm sure there've been some, like, you know, Take a Break magazine where it's like, I was told I was having one baby and 10 popped out. Like, fuck. Because literally, I am at this stage now where I just can't believe those stories where it's like, I didn't know I was pregnant, and then I went for a shit and the baby came out. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. You know you're pregnant. You must know you're pregnant.
There are some clues. The clues are there, right?
You must know, I think.
Well, let's just hope that there's not a little hiding behind the... For some reason, I want to keep calling your baby Molly.
Molly, okay. Yeah. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to give away the name, but okay.
Hi, Molly. So anyway, that's my win. I've got them lined up, raring to go. There's especially Mr. Hall. He's very angry. So I'm sure I'm going to have to calm him down. He's actually very excited. He sent me some very excited text messages.
Excellent. Oh, that's so nice. Hey, speaking of features, do you remember way back in the day we had like our little brainstorm and we came up with some features?
Oh,
We
have you
were
still
going
got
to
it?
do, yeah, so
Oh,
we got the embarrassing story of the week that we were going to call If I Could Turn Back
Back time. Oh,
Time.
that would have been good.
Yeah. We also had the 10-word stories, which
Oh,
we were going to call Don't
yes.
Stop Me Now. I think we did that for 1 week. Top fives. We did top
Yeah.
fives as well. So you could bring all of these little gems and nuggets back,
Yeah, and do you know what we could call this feature? Bring
perhaps.
it all back to you.
Sorry.
Or we just bring back features. So
Yes.
anything you guys are interested in would like to see, then do let me know. Yeah, it was great. I'm just really I'm really good. We're gonna miss you loads, but I just want for when you come back for it to be a sailing ship sailing in the right direction. And that direction is the direction of the town of winning.
The what?
The town of winning.
Of the town of winning.
Sailing in the direction of the town of winning.
Okay. So, okay, that's amazing. Brilliant. Well done
What's your
for.
win?
Do you know what, Ali? I'm not really winning at the moment. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna change my win to like whinge.
Oh, I
See what I
love
did there?
it's a new feature.
Whinge of the week.
Whinge, whinge, get in the bin.
No, so I'm now 31 weeks pregnant. I'm very solidly in the third trimester, which everybody says is shit, and we've already talked about it's like difficult. It's not shit. Anyone who is pregnant listening, don't worry about it. Don't be like, oh, it's coming. But basically, like, I'm so tired. I didn't realize. So I was down at London Marathon at the weekend,
Yep.
which I would say is a win for me. Like that's probably my win of this week, was just like seeing everybody else doing so well and having such a brilliant time at such an incredible event. Like, it's massive. There are 50,000 runners, for God's sake.
I
And I
cried
got to
watching the
watch.
montage at home. I watched the montage at
Did
8 o'clock and I was
you?
in bits. I was like, I need to switch
Yeah.
this off. I can't watch that. Like,
It's
it's so incredible.
the stories are just unreal, and I just think like everyone's just amazing. Like, I love it. There's so many people there running, and also with the London Marathon, you get so many people who it's like their first time they've ever run a marathon because they just put their name into the ballot and happen to get a place, and they're like, shit, I need to train for that.
Assholes.
I know. We've been trying for 15 years, don't
Yeah.
you
It's my life's work. Thanks. I had to
know?
get a good 4 age at the end. Jesus Christ.
I think, look, like being able to go down there, I saw Dean, podcast pet Dean, after he'd run, I met his mum.
We will be talking about Dean shortly, but yes, I
Yeah.
love the fact that when Dean was like, he's like, just going to see Anna, did me a selfie. He's in a plaid shirt, tight jeans, I'm like, you've just run a marathon and you've literally looked like you stepped out the salon. You're incredible.
I had a coaching call with him the day before he went down to London.
Yeah.
His main question to me was, what size is the drop bag? Will I be able to fit a full change of clothes in?
Good man, he's got his priorities absolutely bang on the money.
And when he turned up, I was like, oh, you did manage to fit it in, apart from half of your jeans, because
Yeah,
his jeans
or
were all ripped with big holes in.
are your jeans okay? Because they look quite distressed. He loves a distressed tight jean, doesn't he?
He does. But yeah, so it was great to see him after he did, like, I mean, that's a pretty special long run for his London to Brighton.
But he was totally fine, wasn't he?
Yeah,
He just chatted
fine.
away.
Yeah,
I spoke to him
absolutely
yesterday and I was like, did you not see the zombies walking around with four blankets on, like crying, like with their medals? I was like, you were like 70 levels above that because you've worked so hard. Like, take
Yeah.
that in because that's incredible.
Yeah,
What a
yeah, yeah,
guy.
yeah.
Anyway, sorry to
Brilliant.
interrupt.
No, it's fine. And I saw one of my clients, Alice. She got a PB, which was incredible. I cried when she came in to see me, and I cried quite a lot actually over the weekend, just because there were so many people. So I was at the Running Channel's like pop-up thing, and there were so many runners who came in and were telling us their stories, and you know, even just down to the fact of like, I only started running in lockdown because I started watching the videos that you were making. And that gets me every single time. That's why I trained to become a personal trainer, to help people like individually, because I could see the help that we were giving to people en masse by making videos about like running tips and stuff. And so being able to help people individually and actually follow their progress like one-on-one is what gives me that joy. And so, you know, having these people coming in and telling us that was amazing. But also, oh, so I was in the pop-up place, and one of the first people to arrive got there at about 1:30-ish. I was like, bloody hell, that's early. You've run quick, haven't you? He had run quick. He was the third placed, the 45 to 49 male, so in that age category, and he'd run it in like 2 hours 27, I believe. His name is Richard McDowell.
I know Richard McDowell very, very well.
I know you do. And Richard McDowell came in, went, "All right, Anna, nice to see you." I went, "Bloody hell, you were quick, weren't you?" And he said, "Yeah." Got his phone out of his pocket, went, "Look what I was listening to." On the pause on the lock screen on his phone was this podcast. Lock, like paused. He'd been listening to our podcast. So there you go. If you want a 2:27 marathon, you just listen to this podcast. It'll get you around.
He's Richard McDowell. When he races, he looks like Ming the Merciless. He wears like
He
long red
does.
arm covers, a tiny red vest. I want to say gold hot pants, but they're not. They're just normal shorts. But
Yes.
he is like, he did the Thames Path 100 in like 12 hours 53 or something.
Yes. He's doing
South Downs Way, I think.
no, oh, I think North Downs.
Or North
North
Downs, one of
Downs
them, yeah.
100.
Yeah, he's an absolute machine, but he's such a nice dude. So years ago, I did this Thames Path race. It was 4 days. It was a whole Thames Path. The last bit of it was coming into town. So it was from Richmond
Which town?
to into London. So it was like
Oh,
from
into London.
Richmond into the Thames Barrier. So it was all the way through town. Like that was the last day. It was when I was pretty green as well. So I hadn't been running very long. And I was really involved with like Bad Boy Running Club at that point. So I was like, does anybody want to come pace me for the last day? He turned up. And I was like, among other people, he turned up with his buggy. And I was knackered, obviously. And I was forced into running 9.5 to 9 minute miles through central London with him with a buggy. And I just remember his kid eating carrot sticks and him talking at a normal pace whereas I'm dying trying to talk back to him. It was very interesting. But yeah,
Amazing.
London Marathon, like I kept thinking, oh, do I want to be there? No, I don't want to be there, but I really appreciate the glory and the beauty and the hope there. Like, I think hope is a really, really big word, isn't it? Like, there's so it's such a day. Gives me goosebumps thinking about it. It's just like, oh,
It's the
such a
epitome
day.
of inspiring, like proper inspiring, not like inspo fit life, like Instagram reality, like inspo.
But even if you're
It's
already a
like,
runner, it's still inspiring, which is mad, isn't it? Like Hannah Rittman was there cheering everybody on, and she was like, it just makes me feel like so inspired. And I'm like, you know, you're a fucking person that comes second at the spine, wins these, but still, it's
Still
that that
inspired.
inspires you. And I think there was, do you know what's really cool? There was the two actors from EastEnders were running it. They were actually running the
Oh
whole thing,
my
filming
God.
scenes from EastEnders.
Yes. Like it went into the EastEnders episode yesterday, which I haven't watched, and I haven't watched EastEnders for fucking years, but I actually really want to watch the episode now to see how they like have weaved
You'll
it in
pick
and
it
stuff.
up.
I think it's really
You'll
cool.
pick it up, even if you haven't watched it for 8 years. Cat Slater's still in it. But yeah, I was like, what? So the actors are running it as themselves, but there's 4 points that they're going to stop and film the scene for EastEnders where the characters are running the marathon. And I saw the actress at the end. She was an absolute flood of tears. I'm so proud of myself. But also, it was a work day for me. So it was actually double hard.
She got paid to run the marathon.
What a glorious thing. What an incredibly glorious thing.
There was Millie Pickles. I don't know if you've seen or heard of her. So she's an amputee. She's got one leg, and she was in a wheelchair like a matter of weeks ago because all the training that she was doing was like really aggravating her stump where her prosthetic leg was. And she has to have a special leg for running versus like the normal one that she has for walking. And so she ran it, and one of her friends carried her walking leg in case she needed to walk some of it. But like the very fact, like, you know, you could see all the training she was putting in. She trained so hard she ended up in a wheelchair, but then actually managing to finish it on the day and stuff. It's just amazing. Like, people are just awesome. So
Yeah,
yeah.
it's the epitome of watching people's hard work come together, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of my friends said something really interesting. She watched the whole thing. She was on a cheer squad, and she said, of course you see the elites come through, gliding on air. It's just incredible. Then you see the people that are like 2.5 to 3.5 hours who have trained their bollocks off. Big up Lorna Spain, one of my besties.
Yes,
18 months 18 training months. Yeah. to 57. Unbelievable. Yeah. So well done, Lorna. Just incredible. She's like, then you get the people who have gone out too quick. She's like, so you've got the 3.5 hours have gone. They've trained for that. Then you get the 3.5 hour to 4.5 hour who are, she was on Birdcage Walk, who are dying. She's like, the dead of the dying. She's like, they are just like they've got this wide
eyes.
They've
got the lean on.
Oh my God, I've gone too far.
Yeah.
Then you get the 4.5 to 5.5 hour people. Now, those are the people that haven't trained as hard as they thought they'd trained. So they too are in bits. But then you get the party bus, the people who are like, I know what pace I am and I've had a great time. And she's like, this stuff, 5.5 to 7 hour people are super fun. Like, you know, they're blowing whistles, they're dancing, they're absolutely fine. She was like, it's just a fascinating thing to watch as they all come through, like the waves of the people. So cool. I really loved it. I mean, one day, would you go and do it again?
For me, it feels like it's too big. Like, I wasn't down on the course. I watched the elite race on the laptop, and I just spent the whole day in this pop-up. So this was what was kind of like my win-winge, was like, I'm so tired. Like, my body battery is on minus. I'm 2 days after, like, literally all I did was just stand and talk to people for
That's
like
really
eight
hard.
Hours.
We all know how hard that is because of running show. Well, you feel like you're dying.
I know, but I felt like, because I felt absolutely fine after the running show, but then I realised I'm actually like 3 months more or 4 months more pregnant than the running show, which turns out it's harder. So I spent my whole day just at the Running Channel pop-up. So I didn't see any of the course, didn't see any of the like cheering and stuff. But Neil went and found our friends who were running various points.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, so he went down last year as well. And he said that it was even busier this year. There were more runners again because the London Marathon, like, they keep increasing the number of participants because then they get a world record for the number of participants. So there were over 50,000 runners. And if every runner brings 2 to 4 supporters, every time you increase that number of runners, you're then going to increase the crowds that are watching and supporting. But yeah, like, would I ever do it again was the question. I'd never say never. Like, I just think it's such an amazing... I've entered the ballot. I've entered the ballot for next year.
Cool story. Are you allowed to run it with a buggy? You're not, are you? Because otherwise you'd see buggies all the time.
Yeah, no, and it's way too congested. There was an amazing blind runner who came in with his guide, Andrew, big up Andrew and Andy, who guided him. But they were saying that they were getting their heels clipped quite a lot because the crowds were just so big running. So, yeah, no, there's no way you'd be able to take the buggy. But also, Manchester Marathon is the same day as London next year. And there are two of my friends who ran this year who I thought would be like, I'm never running a marathon again. They were like, yeah, I think I'll sign up to Manchester, because one of them wanted to go sub-4 and got like 4.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now like chasing the sub-4 hour dream. So he's, as you said, Ali, this is a gateway drug. The London Marathon is a gateway drug.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it might be. And then Neil is like, well, I might run Manchester. And I'm like, oh, but if I get into London Marathon, who's going to have the baby? So,
Ralphie will have it.
Ralphie can look after the baby, like the Nana, the dog in Peter Pan.
Exactly. I can't see what the problem is. Just leave the door to the garden open. They can play in the garden with sticks and things.
Beautiful. Oh, it'll be so cute.
Yeah, great. It's not a problem. Get a little seat for Ralphie so you can ride him like a little... that's interesting that Manchester's on the same day.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. Have you got anything grim that's happened this week?
Hey, check this out. I was out on a run with my friend Kirsty the other day. We were talking about that conversation we had about the women's kit for the... Was it the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. The US Team USA's kit.
And she said to me, yeah, well, this goes back to like the 60s and 70s. And I'm like, pardon? And she's fucking like a library, right?
Yeah.
She referred me to this book by a woman called Lauren Fleshman, which is about running. I can't award. It won, yeah, it won the William Hill Sports Book of the Year award last year.
Yeah.
Now, did you know?
Is it a woman running in a man's world?
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, good for a girl.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Did you know that the outfits, basically, were designed to be skimpy because they were like, women aren't very good at sport, so we need something, so at least we'll let them do it, so we've got something nice to look at. So they designed the outfit so they had something nice to look at. Listen to this. This became particularly obvious after the advent of the Title VI in 1972. By the 1984 mm-hmm. Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, the first time a women's marathon was included in the Games,
yes.
the US had the chance to show off the best female athletes in the world in the most marketable way, which meant combating fears that allowing women to participate in sports equally would make them too masculine. The feminization of the uniform, I can't actually read the rest of this because it's got a weird on my phone, but the reason is they wanted them to look feminine. The secondary reason is that because they thought women weren't very good at what they were doing, that was okay to watch someone being shit at the sport if they looked nice.
That sounds like something that Jerry Barton would say.
Yeah.
If anybody's seen that footballer on Twitter banging on about how women shouldn't play football. Ugh. God, mm-hmm. I hate him.
But anyway. It's like, hang on a minute, guys. This was the 70s and 80s. Why is it not changed? I just think it's gross. It's not changed. We're not going to hang on. Oh, yeah, that's the reason why we used to then. We're not going to do that anymore. You know how we like don't refer to women being in the kitchen anymore? We don't do that anymore. Yeah. So why are we letting them wear these tiny high-cut pants where they feel like their flaps are going to fall out and tiny crop tops? Can't they just wear like normal size shorts? So I just thought it was gross and it really freaked me out. And then I started to read more about it and I was like, oh my God, it's so bad that this is like a hangover from like this time where it was like, oh, we'll just make them little because they're not very good at running. So like, but we are good at running. Imagine if they made Jasmine Paris wear that outfit on the Barclay Marathons. Or imagine if they made Camille wear it when she was doing her Lululemon thing.
Mm.
Do you think Courtney would wear that outfit? I don't think so.
No, not with those shorts, the short knees.
No. Do you know there is a new Tailwind flavour called Courtney de Watermelon?
Of course there is.
There actually is. Like, one of my clients is drinking it.
Is she sponsored by them? Is she sponsored by them?
But I'm like, I want some. I don't like Tailwind, but I'm like, Courtney's a watermelon, yeah.
I also don't like watermelon-flavoured stuff either. I like watermelon, but not watermelon-flavoured stuff.
It tastes gross. Hubba Bubba, no. Is it true that Hubba Bubba is made out of whale fat?
Oh, God.
What's that 90s thing? Don't eat Hubba Bubba, it's made out of whale blubber.
Okay. Oh, my God. Is that just because it rhymes with bubba? Hubba Bubba blubber?
I think it was around the same sort of time that they said that the slides, Splashdown, had razor blades in them. So
what's Splashdown?
Splashdown was a water park near my house. They were
that's
like,
really funny because they
don't go on the slides, they've got razor blades in them.
That's what they said about Wet n Wild in Shields as well.
I know. I think it was one of those 90s like myths. Anyway, I think that was my grim. I just thought that is absolute bullshit. What was your grim?
So my grim is a personal grim because on Saturday I went to Parkrun. I went to Stratford-upon-Avon. Thanks for the shout outs. That when I went last time, somebody sang Murder on the Dance Floor at me there. So there's someone who listens to the pod. I can't remember
the
name.
Question. Well, how do you feel about that Groove Jet song?
Is it Murder on the Dance Floor?
No. Why does it feel so good?
Oh, no.
Is it just her voice?
No, it's not her voice. I love her Kitchen Disco Show on Radio 2. Like, there's maybe a song of hers that I don't mind. I don't like that Spiller and Groove Jet one, though.
Just asking. Anyway, continue. You're at Parkrun.
Don't like it. Just don't like it. Anyway, I was at Parkrun. So Neil was playing cricket. It was the first game of the cricket season at the weekend. Boo-hoo by Saturdays for me. So I was like, well, I'll go over to Stratford with you and then I'll do Parkrun. We'll get breakfast and then drop you off for cricket. Stratford is a three-lapper. So I was running around, firmly waddling around, actually, is probably a more fair representation. And
you went quite quick. I thought you were quite quick in it. Maybe I was reading your watch in miles as opposed to kilometres.
Which is exactly what somebody did.
okay.
So, yeah, did the first lap It was fine. Then my headphones ran out, battery error. Did the second lap and was like, I really, really need a wee. And also this baby is really, really, really digging in like low, like in my pelvis low. Like this is really, really uncomfortable. So I started the third lap, but Neil had been sort of like zigzagging across, sort of like waving at me with Ralph and stuff. And I got to the bit where he'd been sort of waving at me and I was like, that's probably enough for me now. And stopped my watch. And I was like, I can't, like, I don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to run anymore. Not, I don't want to run anymore. Like, it just doesn't feel comfortable to carry on.
Yep.
I would be doing it for the sole purpose of just like an arbitrary round number to round it up to 5K. And I don't need to do that. There's nothing, like I'm not training for anything. There's no rule that says I have to. And like, I want to go and get some breakfast, to be honest. So stopped the watch and we walked off to go and get some breakfast. So like, I didn't like scan my token or anything like that. So it doesn't technically count. I'm putting that in inverted commas because it does count because I was out, I was up on a Saturday morning. I was out getting some fresh air. I was running with people. I was enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped when I stopped enjoying it.
Yeah.
Bit like you should with gambling.
When the fun stops, stop.
Stop.
Run. When the fun stops, stop.
There you go. So,
you are done with parkrun now?
So, this is why this is grim. When I got home, I was on my own when I got back. So I drove home from Stratford and I had a little like cry just because I felt like, I was like, this is it now. And I feel like, it's not been taken away from me. It's not that running's been taken away from me, but it's like I've told myself all along the time will come soon whereby it won't feel comfortable to run anymore. And I know that and I'm okay with that. And I thought I was okay with it. But when it actually happens, it's a bit like when people get injured and they're like, but all I want to do is run and I can't run. So
I think it's a bit like when you train for a big race and you've done the race and now you know you have to, and it's the end of the race, like a real big one you trained for, and now you have to like reconfigure. I think it's more like that because you knew this was coming. Yeah. You got to reconfigure and then you've got to start again. But the thing is, the most exciting thing for me is you starting again.
Yeah.
That is to me. I'm like that.
Yeah.
I think you almost get the joy of those early days of like, whoa, this is quite exciting.
Yeah.
But so yeah. Like, how do you, how, yeah. But it must be really shit because it is something that you do all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it did feel really shit to be fair at the time, because like I say, even though I'd like prepared myself and I was like, I know this is coming. It is still a bit like, right, well, this day has come. I'm still going to be running. I'm going out for a run on Saturday with my friend, but we're not going to go to parkrun because I'm not going to do 5K. So I don't need to go to parkrun.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just had a baby. So we're both at sort of that level where it's like, we're literally going to be like slow motion, like waddling along, running as best as we can. But I think I'm super excited to start again as well. But also, like, I always said that when I couldn't run anymore, I'll go and volunteer at parkrun for the last few weeks. So I'll just go and get my parkrun fixed, but I'll volunteer, I'll take the dog, we can tail walk, like I can still move, I'm still active. And I'm so grateful that, you know, there are some women that I know who have been pregnant, who in the final stages of pregnancy have been like in a wheelchair or on crutches because they literally can't walk because their pelvis is like fucked. So I'm very, very grateful that I am fit and healthy. I can go out and I can still run and I can still be active. It's just that my 5K like running life now is on pause. And that's fine. I've come to sort of just
come to peace with it. Come to peace.
Yeah, exactly. Although someone commented on my post that I put up on Instagram about like, oh, as a parkrunner, did 2 out of 3 laps. And she wrote, oh, did you not feel like walking the rest of it to make it up to the 5K? And I was like, no, I really needed a wee. And also, like, it's just an arbitrary number. Why that 5K? It doesn't matter.
You know, it's really funny, isn't it? Like, I was talking to a client about this the other day. I was talking about the neuroflexibility that we have. So the fact that we're like, this is just the way I am, is absolute bullshit. Yeah. You could actually like work on these things. I used to have this thing where I'd round everything up. And I had friends that would wind me up by like making it to run be like 9.62 miles because they knew it would wind me up.
Yeah.
Now I don't give a shit. I literally don't give a shit. It's quite incredible how you can like be like, what? Oh, no, I don't care about that. Like, that's not a thing.
No, I was exactly the same as you. Always had to round up, like running up and down the road and like do. And you're like, that's not like, that's not giving you anything in your training at all, really. Like those tiny little additional bits to round up. It doesn't matter whether you finish at 9.62 or you finish at 10. Like, it really does not matter.
Like, life is precious, man. If you want to go and get a fucking bit of breakfast and sit down with Neil and your dog, go and do that instead. Spend the precious moments of your life enjoying stuff rather than be, I better finish this off because I said I would to myself. It's like, nah, don't bother with that. I'm not interested in that. I think it's, I totally understand how it must be really jarring and like, oh man, a big part of your life is like, it's just a bit missing, but it is a really exciting chapter, like a super exciting chapter of the book. And then the next chapter, if you decide to come back and run, you might be like, do you know what? I'm not fucking bothered about that anymore. I'm going to become a cyclist, in which case we are going to fall out. Like, but, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. It's all part of the journey, isn't it? So, and it's all exciting. And like you say, you're healthy, you're well, you can still move about. So let's just celebrate all that stuff, shall we? Because
Exactly.
Tell you what I'm not celebrating though. Tell you what I'm chucking firmly in the bin.
Oh, go on.
News has reached me. Good news, actually. On the 90s, what were we using in the 90s? The 90s Loud Taylor.
Yeah.
That let loose a reforming for live dates.
What? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting.
I know it is.
Very exciting.
I know. But when I found this out and looked at some of the marketing, I was like, that's not let loose. I thought to myself, where's Richie Wormeling, lead singer of Let Loose? He's been replaced by Matthew Pateman from Bad Boys Inc.
What?
Yeah. So the lineup for Let Loose is actually Bad Boys Loose.
Bad Boys Loose.
And I
You're
think
putting it in the bin.
This is it should go in the bin. Okay. They've spoken to the Watford Observer about it. Apparently, Richie Wormeling has, in inverted commas, retired from the industry. And so Matthew Pateman has stepped in. I just think it's wrong. I don't think it can be called Let Loose. It's like McBusted, isn't it?
Oh, don't. Yeah, it is like McBusted.
It's upsetting me. But it also means I'm probably going to have to go to London to go and see them live because they've actually started writing together as well because I want to go and see them because I'm sad.
When is it?
I don't know when it is, actually. I think it's somewhere very small, like the Slug and Lettuce at Waterloo. So I don't know if I'm going to struggle getting tickets for this, like I'm struggling to get tickets. Well, I'm struggling to get tickets for Arcade Fire, which I've managed to do in the end.
Right.
I'm going with G Dazzle. So G Dazzle is our friend Earwig Chutney. And
Earwig Chutney did
have a willy warmer he wanted to give me to raffle for something to do with a podcast. He hasn't given it to me yet, so I'm terrified he's going to turn up at the Arcade Fire funeral shows with a knitted willy warmer to give me. I don't want him to bring that. So I'm telling you now, Earwig Chutney, don't bring your willy warmer to the Arcade Fire shows. Okay?
No.
But anyway, just get in the bin. You cannot say that a band are reforming and then take dirty members from other bands in and think that it's okay. And the question for the pod today will be, if a 90s band could reform but take members from another band, what would that band look like and what would they be called?
Like a smushing together of... you've just exploded my brain. Like a smushing together of bands.
Yeah, like PJ and Duncan would take that. So if you take... Let's take out the... We've taken the chafe out of Take That. Got rid of Jason. He's in the bin. Got rid of Robbie. He's just annoying. So let's put Ant and Dec in to Take That. That would be amazing. Yeah. What would we call them?
Oh, like PJ That.
I'd call them Take That, Psych. That's what I'd call them.
Oh, good. Oh, I see. Okay, so it doesn't have to be, right. Because I was just thinking we could do like Backstreet Block.
Yes, Backstreet Block is perfect.
Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block.
Perfect. And like the thing is, they're the same band anyway, so nobody would be confused because it's like...
But we'd have to keep Nick Carter and we'd have to keep Mark Wahlberg.
isn't Justin Timberlake. He's NSYNC. They're another. NSYNC. He's another one.
NSYNC and Five. Five Sync.
N5. It's like they come from Islington. Listeners, I'm pretty sure that you will be able to come up with a better thing than us. Yeah. But which 90s bands would you smash together? What would they be called? Answers on a postcard or just on Instagram, please. But I think it's wrong. And I think it's bad advertising. And I'm going to write a letter to my MP.
Okay? I think it's very misleading.
It's very misleading. Where's Richie Wormaling? I'm going to take a banner. I'm going to make a banner.
Is he okay? Let's maybe check if he's okay first.
Just left the industry.
Well, he might be in rehab or something.
Well, if he's in rehab, he's okay. Because he's in rehab.
Yeah,
I'll just Google him. Anyway, have you got to get in the bin?
No.
Richie Wormaling.
No, I'm all right, actually. I'm not too ragey. I mean, obviously, the people who didn't offer me a seat on the train on the way home from London can all get in the bin.
Okay, but, that is an absolutely abhorrent situation. Disgusting.
But what I'd like to put in the bin is just the train companies of Great Britain in general, because on Sunday, there were 50,000 runners, plus all their spectators, plus all of the people who were travelling to Wembley for Coventry City versus Manchester United. Bad luck if you're a Sky Blues fan. That was heartbreaking.
I watched the end of that, and then I got confused as to why there were no women on the pitch at all. And then people started having a go at me on Instagram, and I'm like, fucking hell, I just noticed there were no women on the pitch. That's what I'm saying.
Literally the whole world was in London for sporting events at the weekend, and most of them were travelling down from the Midlands, and their train companies did not have the foresight to put on, I mean, they say that they put on some extra trains, there were perhaps some extra trains, but nowhere near the capacity that was needed to transport all of these people. I stood for a full hour and a bit on the train on the way home. And then a really nice man, so he does not get in the bin, a really nice man offered me his seat, which I took. And then the woman next to him was getting off anyway, so he ended up not having to offer me his seat. And then I said to Neil, could you pass me my water? And my water bottle was empty. And I was like, oh, that's so sad. And the man next to me said, I've got a full unopened bottle of water. Here you go.
Were you wearing your little baby on board badge?
I was, but actually, I mean, you can only see my head and shoulders, Ali, when we do this, and I haven't seen you in real life for a while. I'm quite obviously very...
I know, but some people are like idiots, and they're like, I don't want to do it in case you're not pregnant. I don't want to offend you in this woke society. Yes. So having a badge is really handy. But I think if you've got a badge on, then it's even worse that people don't fucking stand up. My sister once did this. She stood up all the way from London to Bournemouth when she was 8 months pregnant on a train. Yeah. I've never forgotten it. It's a joke. It's just an absolute joke.
I was like, the thing is, I'm quite stubborn. I'm quite headstrong. And I like to, you know, I'm like, I can do this. I'm fine. Like, I'm fit. I'm healthy. I can stand. Mm-hmm. But I did have sudden, like, worries. When I sat down, there was like a little pain low down. And like, at this stage of pregnancy, you can get Braxton Hicks, which are like fake contractions. Mm-hmm. And I did worry at one point. I was like, does standing for a long time actually bring the birth on? Maybe I might give birth on this train. And I joked to Neil.
No, thanks.
When we were standing up, I was like, oh, well, if I give birth, I could just call her Houston. But luckily, that didn't happen.
Her name's Molly. Okay. Now then, everyone, we've talked quite a lot about a load of old shit. So let's talk about Correspondence Corner.
Yay! Just a quick, this is some correspondence, because I met a guy called David who listens to the pod. He was cheering at the London Marathon, and he came and visited Mile 27 at the weekend, and he said, is it you or Ali who doesn't like walking on sunshine? And I was like, well, I quite like it, so I think it must be Ali that doesn't.
What's generally a lie? I hate walking on sunshine. It's just awful.
The song.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, I think it's Ali. He said, oh, well, you should listen to Rocker's Revenge version of it. And I was like, okay, that sounds right up Ali Street.
Yes.
I listened to it before I came on this podcast recording. It's not what you expect. Have a little listen to it offline and see what you think.
Okay.
It may or may not then appear on the pod, on the playlist.
Okay.
All right, want some correspondence in that corner?
Yes.
It's correspondence. in a corner. It's Correspondence Corner.
Some advice required.
Oh, I love advice. Giving advice when I don't know what I'm talking about. Go.
You will know what you're talking about for this one. This is from Claire. Hey, Claire. I am tackling my second 100K in July, race to the Carphone Heineken warehouse.
Yes. Perfect.
In my first 100K, I had an experience in inverted commas, and I don't know if this is normal practice or not. You've come to the right place to find out, Claire. I got to the last checkpoint in the dark with 10K left. I was keen to crack on because I just wanted my pyjamas and pizza. Mm-hmm. I get you. The volunteers at the aid station said I wasn't allowed to leave alone. The last 10K was on country roads. It would have been impossible to get lost. The field had thinned out a bit and I wouldn't have been death marching without seeing anyone. Anyway, a guy said that he was ready to leave the checkpoint and was the only one ready. The volunteers asked him if he would be okay taking me with him. I was so desperate to get on, I just went along with it. And once I was away from the checkpoint, I told him I was fine and he could just do his own thing. But he refused, as he said he now had to stay with me. At that point in the event, I really wasn't up for jibber jabber. At 90K, I'm not surprised, Claire.
Quit your jibber jabber.
Yeah, I love that. Jibber jabber. I just wanted to listen to my true crime podcast and get on with it. But suddenly,
okay, lady,
I had
you listened to the wrong podcast.
Wrong podcast. Maybe we weren't a thing at that point.
True.
We'll let you off. And also 90K in. It depends how many episodes she'd saved up. Anyway. I just wanted to listen to my true crime podcast and get on with it. But suddenly I had a designated carer who wanted to chat to me. As we got to the finish, he grabbed my hand and wanted to cross together. So I made a sprint for it, which was probably more of a waddle at this stage, to get a solo finish to pick. I felt bad because he was a lovely guy, but I just didn't like being made to feel like I needed a carer. And it really made me feel uncomfortable for the last 10K when I was already struggling. So is it a thing that runners can't leave aid stations alone at night? I'm actually getting more worried about this than I am about the mileage.
That, Claire, very interesting stuff there. What was this? Did she tell you what this was?
She didn't, but she said it's she's doing her second 100K race to the Carphone Heineken warehouse,
right?
And this all happened at her first 100K, so I wonder if it was the same.
So, some I know some 100Ks do say you have to leave, they have a buddy system in place. Some of them do. I can't think off the top of my head, but most of the ones that have a buddy system in place are mountain races where it's like basically really dangerous. Mm-hmm. I've never been told I have to leave with somebody ever, and I honestly would not be thrilled about being put with a man I've never met before going down country roads. Sorry everybody, but I just am not thrilled about it. Also, I'm a bit of a lone wolf and I'm like, mate, I made the decisions and I'm very experienced, so you can go fuck yourself. So but the thing that gets me there is the grabbing of the hand at the end. Like, that's just an invasion of space for anyone. Claire, if I were you, I would have a look through their rules and see if there was something there that said we ask that people buddy up when they leave the last checkpoint for whatever reason. And it might be an insurance thing. It might be that the things have happened. You know, if it was really bad weather or really bad visibility, I could see that happening. Doesn't to me sound like you're doing the skyline race, though. It sounds to me like you might be doing something else. So I'd have a look in the rules, because I think that's like just a bit weird. And it's not, it's just not cool, is it, really?
No, it's not cool. And actually, you know, if it's the case, so like the bit that I get upset about a little bit here is that she's getting more worried about this than like doing the race, like the mileage of the race. So I would say, like, if you are that concerned about it, if it's the same race company this time that you're doing it with, get in touch with them, tell them your experience of last time and ask like outright, like, is this like a policy? Uh-huh. Because then you'll know, at least you'll know. But I find it mad. Like, she's doing race to the Carphone Heineken warehouse, which I don't know whether
I don't think that they'll do that because there's so many people on that course. It's so well marked. Yeah. I don't think they'll do that.
But also, like you say, like, it's not technical terrain. Like, it's a long way. It's a really good entry level ultra because the terrain and the organization and all the rest of it is very like beginner friendly, beginner ultra friendly. It was my first ultra was the King. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, I think
just I'm just thinking about the traverse
organizers.
when we were at Patterdale and we were all about to go on the last 15 miles, and that was fucking horrendous. Like the worst weather a lot of people would run in. They weren't like, Shane was there, and he wasn't like, everybody gather together and go in pairs. I chose to go with Robert because I didn't want to have to look at my watch too much because I was worried the battery would run out and I'd have to flip and start getting wires out in the middle of the night. So I went with Robert because I was like, I just want to, and Robert's my client. So I went with him for a bit of a laugh. And we went, and the other girls were near us because we decided it was that there was safety in numbers in that situation of like, this is a bad mountain. And we all spread out again, but it was because it was a bad mountain and because it was windy, rainy, awful. But I think that I do know that some of the race companies do say you have to buddy up at that point and they'll hold people at the checkpoint and send them off in twos. But I think asking a bloke if he's all right with you, it really should be the other way around and saying you're all right with the dude. Or like, are you okay with each
100%.
other even?
Yeah, well, yeah, mutual.
Yeah. Yeah, but I, but
what
like,
would Danny Dyer say?
He'd say, I'll go with the gay guy. I'll go with the gay bloke. I love gay blokes. We just sing. But I'm not gay. So with that, I would, don't worry about things that are within your control. And it is within your control because you can just email the race company and say, is this a rule? And if it is a rule, why don't you go to either go to the Facebook page and say, is there anybody of my, any females of my sort of speed? Can we meet up? Maybe we could do it together. Or just choose somebody where you're like, I think you're all right. And can we have an agreement? We're both listening to our podcast and not talking to each other. Have that agreement. No, we're not holding hands as we cross the finish line. No.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Hopefully that's, there will be like a Facebook group, like you say, and it is tricky. I know, like, because if you're, you know, it's only your second 100K, you might be like, I don't know what my pace is. Like, I don't know how I'm going to feel at that point and what have you. But like Ali says, don't worry about something that you can't necessarily control because you can. Just get in touch. And
it's
just
going awesome. And then the thought goes away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Quick correspondence on worst thing found on my run. It's literally 1 minute. Best thing found on my run was a full fish on the pathway, eyes and everything during lockdown, not near a shop. And I live about 26 miles from the sea. It was around a foot or so long. Thanks, space buns.
What the hell? Oh my God.
So much. I think it was dropped by a bird. They're dropped by birds, aren't they? Like they've got it out of a pond and they just dropped
it. I guess
it.
So, yeah. Perfect. Oh my God.
Next commemorance? No, that's it.
No, wait, all right. One more commemorance. Hi, Ali and Anna. I was going to tell you about a funny incident that happened during the South Downs Way 50 involving a remote portaloo. But I feel you've had a lot of poo stories recently and probably could do without another. So I thought you'd like a more cheery story, albeit not run related.
I don't know who you are, but you've got the wrong end of the stick. We like
it's
poo
Kay.
Stories.
This is Kay. So I immediately emailed Kay back and said, send us your poo story. But in the meantime, and I think that was a couple of weeks ago. Are you okay, Kay? Or maybe I didn't
still
send
writing
it.
It's really long. It's like a tome.
Maybe my apologies are required because maybe I didn't actually send the email. Anyway, Kay says, I was laughing out loud during my long run when you were talking about Pink and how she would be a good ultra runner. I forgot we'd said that, but she would be.
She'd win the spine. Yeah. She'd just win it.
Abs on her.
Yeah, I'd like to see a race between Pink and David Goggins. It would be incredible. I'd like to see them on the Gladiators final.
Yeah.
Like, that would be so good. Because she would whip. She'd do two rounds of that by the time he's only done one.
That would be so good. That would be so good. Many years ago, my brother, who lives in Canada, was doing a road trip in the USA when he stopped at a gas station. And who was in there? You guessed it.
Pink.
Not David Goggins.
Pink was in there.
Pink was in the gas station.
What? I would shit myself.
Ooh. Ooh.
Now it turns into a shit
story. That was a poo story. He says it was definitely her.
Oh, hang on a minute.
But he didn't ask for a selfie and or an autograph. Capital letters. What's wrong with him?
Is this a story? He saw someone in a gas station that looked like Pink. The end.
I'll still take the piss out of him today for that oversight. But as an aside, he also got hustled out of the way by the magazine rack in WH Smith's at Heathrow by Cher. But that's another story.
I think that your brother might be a fantasist, Kay. Hustled out of the way by Cher, by the magazines. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hey, do you want to hear a good fact about Cher? One of my ex-boyfriends, Tom, who probably doesn't listen to this podcast, he he works in TV and he was working with Cher. Cher has a person that travels with her that just looks after her wigs. So she has all these heads with her wigs, and this person is employed just to look after the wigs. So they just put them all up in her hotel room. They brush them for her. They make them look nice. Her wig guy. Like, it's mad. And apparently her wig guy is like her best friend in the whole world.
I feel really stupid because now that you've said that, I'm like, of course Cher wears wigs. But like in my head, I'm like, Cher wears wigs.
Like, they all wear wigs. Pink wears wigs as well. Would you like, Rita Ora has got wigs? Rita Ora's hair isn't real. Rita Ora has just launched a hair care range. And I'm like, but your hair's made out of fucking nylon. guess how old Cher is?
164.
Correct.
She doesn't look it, but I feel like she's been frozen in time.
77.
77.
Yeah.
Oh, interestingly, not very interestingly, but there's a TV show on, I know, BBC at the moment called Blue Lights, which is based in Belfast.
Oh, it's so good.
So like fucking good. Charlie Fairhead from Casualty appears in it this series. Turns out he is from Belfast. He's got an Irish accent in this show and has probably been putting on an English accent for all of his life in Casualty. Guess how old Charlie Fairhead from Casualty is?
I would say, because I've got him pictured in my head from the 90s, and he's got to be like 42. So he's just staying 42 forever in my head. 42.
Yeah, no, 76. 76 years old.
Shut up. Does he still look like Charlie
Fairhead? He looks exactly the same as he did in Casualty in the 90s.
That is the sign of a great actor. It's like matey from my friend the other day was like, have you watched The Thin Blue Line? I'm like, what? the non-woke policeman show about the gay policeman. He went, no. You know, The Thin Blue Line, the one that won all the awards. I'm like, are you talking about Line of Duty? Went, yeah. Very different.
I was like, why are they talking about The Thin Blue Line?
Very different. And Martin Compston from Line of Duty is Scottish. Like, he's Scottish. He's a Scottish man.
Yes.
But you're so used to him being like that. Oh, yeah, old cheeky little Cockney. But then he starts talking Scottish. You're like, what? And I think that's a sign of a great actor, isn't it? When you're like, oh, I'm so convinced.
I tell you who, Jodie Comer. Scouse. Cool. Scouse as you like.
Yeah.
Put her in Killing Eve.
Yeah.
Russian. Is she Russian?
She's something.
Eastern European.
She's a bad'un is what she is.
She is a bad'un. That was a great show.
I know. It was a great show. Great shows I've just watched. Josh Must Win. Absolutely loved every second of it. Have got a bit of a problem. Think I fancy Pete Wicks. So that's got to get in the bin. And what else have I been watching? Just maths. Oh, and also, do you?
Oh my God, I've had a thing for Pete Wicks since he first came into TOWIE.
I'm so happy that you love Pete Wicks as well. Because I think that I could turn Pete Wicks
beautiful.
Around.
He's beautiful.
Yeah, I think I could turn him around.
Mm.
And I'm not sure that I'm his cup of tea though, but I have had needles in my face, so maybe I am. And then lastly, Baby Reindeer. Enjoying Baby Reindeer very much.
I need to watch Baby Reindeer. So it's about a stalker, isn't it? A woman stalker who stalks a man.
Yeah.
And there's loads of stuff online at the moment about how the real stalker, because the actual stalker in the show, it's like a dramatisation and
it's a real life story. So it's a true story, but it's obviously a dramatisation of the true story.
Yeah.
But you know who the stalker is. So she's the main part of the main character. Yeah.
Yeah. There was something online about how, like, the person, the stalker had been, like...
stalking again.
outed on social media or something. But
I might start calling Damien Hall Baby Reindeer, and he won't know why. Well, on that note...
We've just descended into the ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I'm going to Wales again. So I'm going to Wales to work with Pegasus again on one of their camps. And then I've got a whole week in the Brecon, in Banai Brecinyog on holiday. I've got myself an Airbnb. And at the end of my bed, there is a bath, a freestanding bath. Come at me.
Oh my God.
Just like
that's
a whole
so
week of like the hills, the Black Mountains, the dog. I'm going to write the speaking tour. I'm going to write the whole tour, like write the thing I'm doing. I'm going to
sing the theme tune.
I'm going to recce the Edom, which is a race that I'm race directing.
Cool.
I'm going to hang out with Baby Reindeer next Friday. I'm going to have a great time. Just a nice holiday in Brecon.
Amazing.
So let's hope that the weather holds out. What are you up to?
What we're doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to one of my favourite places in the world this weekend.
Where?
Wendover Woods.
Oh, Wendy.
Yeah, good old Wendy.
Wendy.
So yeah, I'm going for a run with my post-pregnant friend on Saturday, and then Wendy on Sunday for a little sort of walky, trotty bit of
Have they got bluebells in Wendy? Because they'll be out at the moment, and they are absolutely stunning. The bluebells.
Yeah,
at the
moment. They might do. I've got bluebells in my garden.
Yeah, you got 2 week window, people. Quickly get out and do the bluebells.
But do not traipse on them. Do not trample them. Do not try and get the Instagram picture by standing on them, and don't pick them. They are not endangered, but they are protected.
Are they?
They are.
Guys, you've learned so much this week on this podcast. Mainly that me and Anna both fancy Pete Wicks, which means we're going in for a pincer movement on getting Pete Wicks on the podcast, even though it's got nothing to do with ultra running.
I'd love that. That'd be great.
Me too. Can you imagine what he smells like? I bet he smells incredible.
No, I think he probably smells like Lynx Africa, like a 12-year-old boy.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Oh. I think we'd both be bitterly disappointed, because I don't think he'd look at us for 1 second. I think he'd literally put his hand in both our faces, just push us out of the way. Do you know what he'd do? He'd do what Cher did to that guy in the magazine rack in WH Smith's to us.
Well,
if you're listening, Pete Wicks, always welcome.
And on that note, I love you, bye.
I love you, bye.
Fuck!
What?
We didn't do the podcast pet update.
Oh. We'll put it in now. Okay, we'll put the podcast pet update in now. We've run the London Marathon, everybody. We love you, bye.
Hello, podcast. Right, I have just got back from London where I ran the marathon. What an absolute adventure that was. The supporters, the crowds, the support both online and in person. I'm overwhelmed. I'm extremely blessed. The entire day was extremely emotional. It was so lovely, so wonderful. I had just the loveliest of days. I saw Anna afterwards, and no complaints. Obviously, that was a pretty epic training run, because it's back to it. This week, we're going to be back in the gym tomorrow. We're on week 27, I believe. We have Copenhagen Marathon next week as the next training run. And then London to Brighton is, as of recording this, 4.5 weeks' time. My golly gosh. Keep going. We're chugging along. We're doing well. We're getting there. Thank you for the support. Much love.
Hey, podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Hardy Ultrasound System. You know we love you for it. We'd love you even more if you could tell your friends, family, people you like, people you don't like, that sort of thing, about us, so we can get even more listeners, because we're greedy and we like people. We'd also love you if you could hop onto the old socials and drop us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we will pop up. And we wouldn't be where we are without your input. So please do send us your wiffles, waffles, all the things that you want us to talk about, your conumbrances and correspondence. You can either drop us a DM or VM on socials, or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. And if you've got time, don't forget to leave us a review. It helps with discovery, and everybody likes a bit of discovery, don't they? We'll see you next week. We love you. Bye.